Welcome to another episode of Faces of Divorce, the podcast where we explore the profound impact of parental separation and divorce through the eyes of those who live through it, whether as children or as the adults. And we will also have experts who offer valuable advice on how to approach divorce in a way that minimizes trauma and fosters understanding. The goal is to divorce different, no more trauma in the divorce process, empowering our community even in the face of divorce. So today we have our guest, Philip Simon. One thing I can say about him, he is smooth. He's the calmest person and the most relaxed person that you'll ever meet. And anyone listening to this that know him will say, yes, he is. So thank you so much, Phil, for being with us
Oh,
today on Faces of Divorce.
hello. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, so we know that this conversation that we are going to have is going to be mainly from your perspective as a child who experienced divorce, experiencing divorce as a child when your parents separated and then divorced. So we're going to get right into it. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. So to get the people a little acclimated with who you are, what do you do right now? What is your profession?
Yeah, so I'm a paralegal. I work in Miami. We take care of like auto accidents, things like
Okay.
that.
All right, so the legal field, like me. So, can you describe, tell me about and tell us about your childhood? Like what was your childhood like?
Yeah, so childhood, my dad basically was he was in the military. My mom was like in nursing school. And I was born in Kankakee, Illinois. Believe my dad was stationed there.
Okay. So you were in Kankakee, and how was the environment? Was it fun? Did you guys always do things like on the weekends and things like that? What was the environment in the home?
The environment was pretty, I don't know, for me, I was really young, so
Okay.
I can't remember, but I do know that at a young age, I believe my mom was in school. Like I said, my dad's in the military, and we were sent to Haiti at a young age, probably like 2 years old.
Oh, really?
Like 2 years old.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, my sister, me and my sister, went
Okay.
to Haiti at a very young age.
And when you were sent to Haiti, was that before your parents' divorce or separation? When was that? In relation to their relationship? When you went to
I
Haiti.
believe during that time, I believe they were having like issues with their marriage at the time. So, and just with my mom going to school and my dad traveling, so I believe like we were sent to Haiti so they can take care of they need to take care of, I guess.
Okay. And while you were in Haiti, did your parents visit together? Did they visit separately? How was that dynamic?
No, well, we did visit them. I believe I was about like 6 years old
Yeah.
when me and my sister, we did visit them probably once or twice.
During that time, because you mentioned you visited once or twice, during that time that you were visiting, are you saying that you were leaving Haiti to come back to Illinois to visit them, you and your sister?
No, they were, so I believe at the time when we visited, they were like in Washington at the time. They were in a
Okay,
different
so they moved.
place. Yeah, they moved. Yeah,
But they were
so
still in the home together. They were still
Yeah, they were
married at
still
that
in the
time.
home together. Yeah. And that's when I remember, I could remember seeing like issues, like actual issues, actual like yelling, and fighting. That's when I remember my first experience seeing that, with them. And, that was shocking at the time.
Oh, it was shocking at the time because when you came back and you were there in Washington, that was the first time that you can actually recognize or remember that there's tension going on. How
Yeah.
did you respond to that?
At first I was shocked because, the yelling and like I was just like shocked, like what's going on, because I wasn't used to it growing up. But even when my grandparents didn't shout too much and fight too much with each other. They were pretty calm. So it was like, in seeing my parents, which I'm like, they're, I thought they were all good. Seeing that was kind of like, wow, what's going on? Like, are they, like I started getting nervous already, thinking like, are they gonna like, leave each other? Like, it looks like, like it's pretty intense.
Now, when it would be intense, did you ever remember trying to separate them or trying to do something to keep the tension down?
Yeah, I remember once trying to separate them once.
What was the reaction, and do you remember how you felt while you were doing that?
I don't know, like I felt like, I don't know, like I felt almost like I had to, like I felt like kind of like maybe even like, this shouldn't be happening. Like, why are you guys fighting? So I'm trying to like separate them, you know?
And how did they
So,
respond to you when you tried to separate them?
I don't know, like I feel like I was pushed to the side almost. I believe I was pushed to the side, and the arguing just continued and stuff. And I think that's when my mom took me and my sister outside, and then we went with her outside, and she took us
So it
outside
was
to the
to
park
more.
and everything. Yeah, she took us to the park and to get away from all that.
So, do you remember now when your mother, one, you tried to stop it because you realized even as a 6-year-old that this isn't okay, this isn't good. When their reaction was to kind of push you off, do you remember, even though mom took you to the park and tried to remove you, do you remember how you were feeling, how you kind of processed that in your mind as a young child?
I mean, as a young child, I was pretty sad about it. I tried to be strong, like tried to appear strong, because but I know I felt pretty sad. I felt pretty, I didn't feel good about it. I remember just being kind of sad in my own mind all day.
So after that incident, can you remember what transpired over time that led to them actually separating and or divorcing? Do you remember that time when you found out that they were going to separate or divorce?
Well, after that, like you said, after we, visited for a little while, there was a lot of tension, and eventually we did go back to Haiti. And I remember probably, when I was 11, that's when my mom came and got us from Haiti, and I believe that they were divorced like a year before that or something. Like they were divorcing or something at that time. When she came and got us from Haiti, I know they were already divorced.
So that time that you came when you were 6, just to try to put it into context for the listeners, about how long did you guys stay where that incident happened and all of that? How long did you stay from 6 before going back to Haiti for the 5 years or so?
I know we stayed for maybe even a couple of months, I think. Maybe like, like 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
I remember like, I remember a lot of different little issues during that time that seemed like a very long time.
Now, you mentioned you have a sibling. Is your sibling older than you or younger?
Older than me.
Did you and your sibling talk about it while it was happening, like when you guys were visiting that time?
I know we were looking at each other like what's going on, and I know we were had both had like worried looks in our eyes, but I know it, and we were like at the time it was like a little apartment. It wasn't like we didn't have a lot of space to even go and talk with each other. It was just so we were all like in one room,
Okay,
so.
and when you went to Haiti, oh, I forgot to ask, you said your sibling is older, but how much older?
He's about a year and a half older.
Okay, so a year and a half. So you guys are close in age. Now, you said that when you go to Haiti, who would you be around while you're in Haiti? Who were you with?
Mostly like with my grandmother.
On which
I
side? Per your father or mother's side?
my father's time. My
Did
father's
they
side.
ever talk about it or ask you guys how you felt about what was going on with your parents?
No, not really. They they just try to just keep us as happy as possible, and keep us like in a shelter from issues like that. They didn't try to talk about it with us and things like that. They just act like everything was great.
Now, when you were back in Haiti with your sister, did you all discuss it then? Did you guys have any conversations about what transpires, what you thought would happen next?
I mean, I know we talked about like wanting to, come back and live with our parents. We were, we were hoping everything was okay with them, and we were like, we're like, okay, when do we get to visit them again, or are they stable to where we can go back and live, So I know that was like our hope, like we were just hoping that everything was good, so when, we go back, come
So
back.
when your mother, you said that at around age 11, so that mean it's 4 to 5 years after the incident, after you guys were around that environment of realizing, oh, there's something off with our parents. When your mother came back, did you go back to America with her immediately, or did she just visit?
I believe we went back with her like immediately. Yeah, we
Okay.
went back with her immediately.
And now that you were back stateside, so you're back in the US, who did you primarily live with? Did you end up staying with your mother? Did you see your father?
So yeah, I didn't see. So yeah, it was just my mother. So at the time, we didn't see our father, and my mom moved to Miami with us. So yeah, my dad was in, I think, Washington or wherever. I don't even remember where he was at the time, but he was definitely in the army moving around.
Okay. And now that you're back, so you're back, you're in the home, and it's already different because it's just your mom. How did that affect your relationship with your mother who was there in the home with you? Did it impact it at all?
In a sense, yeah, in a way it did.
And how? Like, it was it the way that you communicated? Was her mood? Did she have the same temperament like when you guys were in Washington and Illinois together? What was the difference?
No, I mean, she seemed okay, like she seemed all right, like, but she would always be working. So and she was just seeing her work a lot and hustle. She was on a hustle, trying trying to, take care of the two kids, So it was, I think it was harder for her in a way. It
So
was
you
tough for
recognize
her.
that, the difference with it just being her. Now, what about her demeanor? Was she the same as when you guys had visited when you were six? Was she happier? Was she more serious, sadder? What could you remember the emotional, how she was on an emotional state when you were back together?
I mean, mostly I would say she seemed happy. She seemed okay. But she every time we see her, she tried to put on a smile and make us feel loved and stuff. But she wouldn't talk about anything about what happened or what's going on with him. And so we were I mean, we figured, okay, like he's not here, I mean, but you guys are not together anymore. But she didn't talk about it with us.
Now, I know that you were mainly with your mother, but did your father come during spring break or different times while you guys were in Miami, or did you go to Washington during those times?
I believe he came and visit like once or twice. Once or twice during those times.
During those times, were they together? So when he was visiting, were you all kind of in the same place, either going out together as a family, or was it he's visiting, so you're just with him for the time?
Yeah, at that time, I believe it was just him seeing us at the time, and I don't think it was not like a they didn't go out together or anything like that.
Now, can you, if you can remember, taking yourself to that place, because you come back to America, this is about 4 to 5 years later, you're now coming to a home where it's just your mother, not your mother and your father. Do you remember any emotional changes in you or behavioral changes when it was just you and your sister and your mother?
I think I mean I wasn't I don't think I was I wasn't a bad kid. I don't think I was a bad kid. I don't think I was too bad. Like, I don't think I did a lot of bad things. I get in trouble here and there, I think, like everyone else, but I was very quiet though in school. Like, at first, I was super quiet. I didn't talk much to other kids and not like that.
Was that
Maybe
just a
part of it was
personality thing?
lang but part of it was probably like the language barrier. Like,
Oh,
most of them
that's
use
true.
Creole. So until I like kind of learned English, I think maybe I just wasn't talking too much.
Did you participate in any therapy or counseling
No.
after?
No. No.
What about extended family? So I know when you guys were in Haiti, you were with your father's side of the family. So when you came back, you said you were with your mother and your mother came to Miami. Did you have a lot of extended family in Miami?
There's sisters that lived in Miami alone.
Was that, I don't cut you off. Did you feel like that helped? Being around that family, was it kind of like a support in a way where you're able to not focus on or take in what this means? The fact that is you're just seeing mom, not mom and dad together. Did that help at all being around the extended family?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And the family help, I have a lot of cousins and then and that and And it was, kind of a distraction,
Mm.
for a little bit. And but we still thought about our dad, but definitely, we had, definitely had fun, and we were pretty happy. Pretty cool.
Now, what about your sibling? Did you witness anything separate? Because you say you have a sibling. Is it a brother or a sister?
Sister.
Okay, so there are some studies and people that say girls and guys take things a little differently. Did you recognize anything different between the interaction with your sister and your mother after you guys got back and was living just with her?
No, I think my sister and my mom always kind of been pretty close. More, I think they've always been pretty close. In my opinion, they've always had like a nice open communication. And my mom always left open communication for us, like to talk to her whenever we wanted to talk, something like that.
Well, that's a
So.
good thing. Now we know culturally, because I'm Haitian too. So we know culturally, Haitians don't really like to talk about feelings, emotions from when I was growing up. So I won't talk for everybody. Obviously, we're not doing general blanket statements, but from my experience. So you said that she's open and she kind of left the door open for communication. Did you all ever communicate about her relationship with your father, the divorce, or anything like that
Yeah,
during those years?
later on, as when I got older, I did mention a few things, that might have, hurt me or I'd felt, that maybe could have been better for us, instead of just maybe getting, sent to Haiti or not really, just not knowing too much of what's going on, I just, I felt like,
So you said later, about what age? Were you a teen? Were you in your 20s? When did you really address that with her?
I started like 17, 17. That's, I think that's when I started acting out the most.
Okay, and what do you mean by acting out the most?
Just like not going to school sometimes, skipping school, just being streets, running around stuff. I, just like a rebellious, I started, being more rebellious.
Okay. It's interesting you use that word rebellious. I want to kind of sit there a little bit. You didn't say I act a little crazy or I did a little, you said rebellious. So what were and I want you to think with your adult mind at this point and bringing yourself back to that 16 and 17-year-old self. Why were you being rebellious? And do you believe that it's connected in any way to some of the things that you told your mom?
I do believe it did, because I feel like sometimes it had to do with like even when I at that age, that's when I started, I think, becoming more interested in like women too, like or females, or talking to females, going out with females, and I just didn't, I didn't want to listen to any whatever my mom was saying, at the time, because I was trying to, it's, I guess experience, like relationship, see how, it goes, see what happens.
Now, you said that you mentioned to your mom you believe that you were hurt that you guys were sent away and that wasn't the best way. So did you feel that you did have or do have lingering pain, anger, frustration from being sent away during that period of time?
I did. Yeah, I do, of course. I mean, Haiti is not like Hawaii. But
That too. That too.
that too. But I always felt like, like, okay, why didn't you guys try harder to, to keep your kids around, keep your kids with you, versus sending them to Haiti, because, like, like, you're our mom, like, we're your responsibility. That's the way I felt, and I think, yeah. And yeah, and that started hitting me. And when all these things started, like, hitting me, I think that's, that's when I really started, like, acting out even more,
So you felt abandoned. Is that
Exactly.
safe to say that you felt
Yeah,
abandoned
safe to
during that
say.
time?
Yeah, safe to say, I did feel abandoned.
And you said you had that conversation with your mom. Did you also have that conversation with your father at some point?
At some point, I told, I told him. I didn't have that specific conversation with him, but I did have a conversation with him about like, we felt abandoned, period, by him, because even when we were in Miami, he barely came around. So I had a conversation of just, like, you just abandon your kids, period. Like, you just, you come whenever you want. You come once in the blue moon. Sometimes, that does affect.
So I know that you kind of hit on some of the things that I was going to ask about the impact on your social life. You did say that, you started to get rebellious and you were exploring relationships and things like that. So relationships. So now we're out of the teen years, because I'm assuming at some point the rebellion stopped. And
Eventually.
how, if you can, and if you have thought about it, have you thought about your parents' experience, including yours, and feeling in responding to the way that they handled the separation and then divorce and things like that? Do you feel that it has shaped your adult relationships, how you see and get into relationships?
I would say it does, in a way. It does. I try to, I try to do things differently than, I try not to, like, to be more serious relationships, but sometimes that doesn't work, So I feel, so sometimes, like, I don't, like, I feel like it affects me, because I don't know, like, how to, like, how a proper relationship goes. I don't know if that's a thing, because maybe people with the parents growing up get to see how two people interact, and how they, and how they live their lives, or whatever, or how the man's supposed to have patience and all that, I mean, we are. But it does affect you, because then you've never really seen that with your parents, like, for me, I never seen that with my parents. So it's like, I'm like, so it does, it did, I feel like it did, in some of my relationships that didn't work out. I do feel like, maybe it does play a role.
Now, when you say maybe it does play a role, what is your view given? So we're trying to really make sure the conversation is providing the value that we want from, what you experience, how you process that. So I do want you to think. So whenever I say that, I do want you to think back to it, but obviously, as an adult now, but how do you, well, before I go there, with your parents, now that you're older, you're an adult, have you had the conversation with them about the way that they had their divorce, like the way that they went about it? Have you had that conversation?
No, I haven't. I mean, I haven't really had that conversation in a while. I know I've tried to, because I believe, like, even our relationship now with my parents
Yes.
sometimes is up and down, so I don't speak to my dad,
Yes.
maybe once a year, maybe twice a year.
Yes.
So you don't talk to people like that. It's like, okay, when you do probably get a chance to talk to them, I don't want to make it,
Ah,
awkward,
that
or,
makes sense.
I try to keep it, light, and cool, try to keep it light and cool, because I don't know next time I'm gonna hear from them.
Now, based on what you experienced, right? Because we can only go based on our experiences. What is your view of marriage and commitment?
Marriage is tough. I mean, I wasn't married. And it didn't work out, but I do have, but it was a mutual understanding. But it's still a tough thing. It's still tough. So we do have two kids and two girls. It's tough, but we manage. We try to manage, sharing. I guess when people say sharing custody, or sharing custody. I never wanted to, to have like any animosity or anything like that. That's how I carry on now, just try to be there for my kids and try to be part of their lives as much as I can.
No, that's great. Do you believe your selection in your partner was influenced by what you experienced with your parents, what you observe, how they responded to you all? Do you think that that affected how you selected your partner?
No, I mean, at the time, I wanted a partner that, that goes to church, a Christian partner, like like somebody kind, somebody, that's, willing to, stay together for, forever. So that was my intention. That, I mean, I went with, with the intent of all the right intention. Choosing a good partner and all of that. But I don't know. I feel like maybe I had some, still had some things inside of me, still have some different things that maybe if I did, was able to just, raised with a more active father, and maybe a more, maybe, I would know what to do in certain situations, or when we had certain issues, I would have been better equipped to deal with it, because, maybe I would have seen how my father deal with it. But I wasn't, never seen, I seen him deal with it with anger, or with, with arguments, so, or, who's right, who's wrong, So that definitely didn't go well. Yeah, it affected
Did,
the relationship.
are you saying that you ended up repeating that versus doing something opposite because you didn't see something opposite? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying maybe, yeah. I'm saying that happened, but I don't know
Yeah.
if it happens to all of us. You know, I'm just saying,
Oh,
but
okay. Yes.
you know what I'm saying? But I do feel like it did, you know, but I did feel like if I was better equipped, maybe I would have, I could have reacted differently in a
Wow.
situation, like in an argument or in a,
Yes.
you know, how to calm down. You know, maybe if I see my dad calm down, I would know, all right, you know, maybe better to just calm down
Oh,
and
wow.
just,
See, that's a lot of reflection. So you've done, that
yeah.
takes us to our next section. That is a lot of reflection that you've done to recognize that. So you mentioned, and I like the word that you use because one thing on Faces of Divorce, you heard even with the intro that we want, even if there ends up being a divorce, the goal of this podcast is that people divorce different, that we are not using the divorce process to penalize the person, to punish them with the process, to make them our enemies, to be okay with us being enemies, especially when young children are involved, because again, the children are watching, they're learning how to interact based on yours. So you mentioned that you didn't want that, even though your relationship with your two minor children, mother did not pan out the way you wanted to. You mentioned that you didn't want that, so you did it differently. Explain to us a little bit about what you felt was a better way than what you saw, what you did in your own.
Yeah, so I feel like being part of my kids' lives is definitely a must. You know, like I feel
Yes.
like, you know, like the way maybe my dad didn't reach out to us, or I feel like you definitely should reach out to your kid regardless, regardless if there's a divorce.
Yes.
You know, I still, you know, some days I take my kids to school.
Yes.
You know, some days, you know, I take them to the park, take them to play basketball, or I call them. If I don't talk to them for like 2 days, I'll call them, you know.
Yes.
You know, so I feel like doing things like that, you know, that I didn't, you know, I didn't get, or you know, or I mean, don't make it sound sad, but you know, or tell your kids I love you. You know, that's
Yes.
important. You know, even if you know you didn't hear it from your parents, or you didn't get that as much.
Wow.
You know, I feel like, you know, seeing that and making me feel like I want to do things different. You know, I want
Yes.
to be different. And I, you know, and I try to tell them, you know, hey, you know, keep a good relationship with, you know, with you know, my ex-wife. You know, I try to keep a good relationship and tell them to always respect their mom and things
Yes.
like that, and you know, and never talk bad about you know, their mother. You know, like I, you know, I never, you
Yeah,
know, talk
that's
bad about her.
important.
So I feel like those things, you know, I was able to do it differently. You know,
Yes.
you know, I feel like that's important. Instead, as you know, get older and you're reflecting, like, hey, you know, I don't want to do the same things and maybe cause more trauma or cause more trauma or
Yes.
more issues to the kid, you know, to kids when you don't, you know, when all you have to do is just sometimes just be part of their life.
That is powerful because you basically answered, because one of my questions was how did the experience of the divorce contribute to your personal growth? And you answered that. You basically said that you are doing different than what you saw, different than what you received. So you're, and I know, I watch you, I see you, and you are very hands-on. So I can say just from what you've shared with us tonight, today, that you are definitely doing the opposite of what you receive, and that is possible. So that's another thing as well. The fact that you even mentioned that you tell them to not talk negative, to respect their mother, that's divorcing differently. That's literally the epitome of what we're saying, how you try not to resemble what you saw and what you did. So, what about your parents? Have you forgiven them for their decision to divorce or even the way that they went about it?
I believe I have. I believe I have. I believe I don't hold it against them just because I feel like just so I can be free, I guess, you know, just so I can have that relief and move on with my life and
Yes.
not let it like hold me back in any type of way and feel like, oh, because you know, so I don't want that to be like something that like that continues to, but I know when I was there was a certain moment in my life where it really did affect me a
Yes.
lot, and you know, like I was going through it for you know years and years with them, and you know that I was really like you know being you know having a lot of resentment, having a lot of issues with how they went about you know I, for years it affected me, but definitely now I feel like I'm you know definitely more forgiven now than
Oh, that
before.
is awesome that we love to hear that. So you're not only breaking negative cycles and patterns, you acknowledge how one of the biggest things people forget about forgiveness is for you too, so that you can move on. And you said that. That is awesome. Can you share any specific practice or moment that really help you heal or build a healthier foundation for yourself and your relationships?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean by moment?
So if something that happened, like it was, the Christmas when we all were together, when I had my children there as well, like that thing that happened, like maybe you can, and if you can't identify one, that's fine. But or if
Okay.
it's something that you do, like an affirmation, something that you do that's actually helped you become healthier, be able to have this view that you have today that you didn't have before.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I believe, was it last year?
Yes.
Yeah, last year, there was a moment where it was around my birthday. I think my dad came down first for some reason, but he happened to come down around when it was my birthday time, and also my niece was graduating, and so. And my mom was there, and I believe we all took a picture together. My sister was there, and we all was there, and you know, we all took a picture together, and you know, and went, you know, to eat together, and you know, and I believe that that was, you know, that was an impactful moment just to show, you know, that, you know, sometimes, you can have. You know, like, you know, a dream or something, you know, it's just like, oh my God, you know, we all can actually get together, you know, and just hang out. And it was like a moment where, you know, I literally was able to forgive everybody on my birthday and just be like, you know what, my birthday, you know, I really just need to, you know, everybody's here and I forget about that moment.
That is awesome. So everyone was together again. All these years later, we don't know exactly how many years we can estimate. Is it like over 30 plus years?
It was a rare picture, I'll tell you that. It was definitely
And
a rare
that's,
picture.
is that the first picture that you also, mother, father, and you and your sister was all in a picture with your generations after 30 plus years? And
Basically,
it was a
yeah, it was.
healthy environment?
And it was a healthy environment, surprisingly. I think everybody, you know. Everybody was on one accord, and I think we also celebrated. So I think everybody, nobody wanted any drama. So everybody was just in a, you know, in a nice mood.
That is awesome. See, you were able to identify. That's a powerful moment. You'll never forget that birthday. Look at that. Now, looking back, how do you think your experience has influenced the legacy that you wish to create for your children?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like it's about resilience, just having them just to keep going in life, not to give up, not to quit, just to keep striving to be better and do better. And learn from your mistakes and learn from, things that you go through, some of the things you're going through, you're learning from them. You're staying humble and things like that. I just want to leave a legacy of like humility,
A legacy of humility. That's powerful. Now, as we're closing out, we're closing out. I don't have too much. But did you do, because you mentioned how you're telling your children, to respect their mother and you don't talk negative about their mother with them and you're spending time with your children. Do you believe that you have you had the conversation that you didn't have the benefit of having about what this separation meant? Did you talk to them about it in that way, like actually addressing, we're separating or we're divorcing? Did you give them that conversation, your children?
I guess I gave him like a brief conversation. I did give him a
Yes.
brief conversation about it. I told him, me and your mom's not together anymore, but I'll always be here. Call me anytime. I'm like, yeah, I'm not leaving this state as long as y'all are here. I gave him like more confidence, like I'm here, but me and your mom is, are not able to be together. But nothing, like we still, we still have cordial, we still remain cordial with each other.
And why did you think it? I know I can think of tons of reasons, but I want, in your words, why did you think that it was important to have that? You don't have to, like, you didn't go into details, which is fine, but why did you think it was important to at least have that conversation with them?
No, I just felt like it's they I don't want them to wonder like I was wondering when I was a kid, or thinking, or just like not knowing, not knowing and not hearing it from the people you care about the most. That put me at, at least put me at a little bit of ease, put them at a little bit of ease or more ease.
So
Make them
having the
feel comfortable.
conversation, you believe, actually gives peace of mind, give a little bit, as much as it can, to the child, because that would have been different for you too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it gives them a little peace of mind. It might be a tough thing to hear at first, but then, I'm sure it's appreciated,
Take a moment to pause to acknowledge our sponsors of this episode. The Sejugistat Firm PLLC, celebrating a decade of excellence, the Sejugistat Firm provides award-winning estate planning and business legal services in Florida and Georgia. Secure your legacy with trusted expertise. TheSGFirm.com. Divorce Lab Institute. Reclaim your power with Divorce Lab Institute, helping women break free from toxic marriages with holistic support and expert legal insights. Your healing starts here. DLabInstitute.com. Ally Prestige Apparel. Style with significance. Ally Prestige Apparel celebrates and empowers paralegals and nurses and professional support staff with high quality, meaningful fashion. Wear with pride, join the movement,
alliedprestigeapparel.com. And those are our sponsors.
We are back with our guest Phil with some more good information and conversation. Now, what does it mean to you, in your words, in your own words, what does it mean to divorce differently in a way that respects the emotions, the emotional needs of everyone involved? If you could put it in a few words, what does divorcing differently mean to you?
I believe it's just divorcing in a way where there's not as much drama or as much problems and issues. Just like you said, smarter, and better.
Yes.
I believe that's the better route to go. Just not like I've seen, the divorces could really, get wild and
yes.
really get out of hand, so I believe divorcing differently is the divorce, divorcing in a better way, right? And having it more as much peaceful as you can, as much mutual understanding as you can bring to the situation.
Mutual understanding and peace. Yes. Those are key words. You don't know how powerful those words are, because that's literally one, what I put in the book, Divorce Like a Boss. But also just trying to get people to understand that the legal process is not worried about how you feel. It's not worried about your future, your legacy, the mental health, the emotional, social health of your children. It's just about getting you from point A to point B, married to divorce, right? So it's up to us, just like you mentioned, to divorce differently, to have the mutual agreement, to have some type of peace in a bad situation anyway, because that's not what we plan for. So finally, what is the one key message you like to share with those who are currently facing divorce based on your life experience?
Well, I would definitely say divorce is a tough thing, you gotta be strong through it. Gotta try to, like I said before, try to make it as, try to keep the kids, not involved too much in the arguing and bickering, and definitely you don't want to do that in front of the kids.
Yes.
Definitely you don't want to be fighting in front of the kids. It could definitely, I had experienced it, definitely could affect them later on in life. You want to be as peaceful, like I said, as possible.
Yeah.
Go into it, with an open mind, and stay in prayer, whether you meditate, also you gotta take care of yourself, during that process.
That's a good one.
I would say that also helped me, just, meditating, self-reflection, just trying to, work on yourself, make yourself happy, but also, you got kids involved. Always think about the kids.
Think about them too. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Phil, for taking the time, for being open and transparent. We appreciate you. We hope this is not our last conversation. And this is Faces of Divorce. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are here to help you divorce different. See you on the next podcast.